This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قال قد أوتيت سؤلك يا موسى ولقد مننا عليك مرة أخرى إذ أوحينا إلى أمك ما يوحى أن اقذفيه في التابوت فاقذفيه في اليم فليلقه اليم بالساحل يأخذه عدو لي وعدو له وألقيت عليك محبة مني ولتصنع على عيني إذ تمشي أختك فتقول هل أدلكم على من يكفله فرجعناك إلى أمك كي تقر عينها ولا تحزن وقتلت نفسا فنجيناك من الغم وفتناك فتونا فلبثت سنين في أهل مدين ثم جئت على قدري يا موسى واصطنعتك لنفسي اذهب أنت وأخوك بآياتي ولا تنيا في ذكري اذهبا إلى فرعون إنه طغى.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدني علما رب زدني علما رب زدني علما. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. We are continuing with the Surah Taha and the story of Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ قَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. We left off at a number of du'as that Musa alayhi salam made in this beautiful surah, Surah Taha, or Surah Al-Kalim or Surah Musa. All of these are names of this surah. Musa alayhi salam made a number of different du'as. He said, رَبِّ شَرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. O Allah, open my heart up for me. O Allah, make my affairs easy for me. O Allah, untangle my tongue up for me. O Allah, do that so that people may understand my words. O Allah, also allow for there to be a minister from my family, Harun, who happens to be my brother. O Allah, strengthen my call and my affairs and my back for me. As in, O Allah, strengthen my affair for me. Make him a partner in my affairs. These are all du'as he's making. Now he gives his reasonings. He says that so that we may glorify you, O Allah, so that we may worship you, O Allah, so that we may remember you, O Allah. إِنَّكَ كُنْتَ بِنَا بَصِيرًا. Now he finishes it off by praising Allah, saying, O Allah, you are ever watching. You have been watching us throughout our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the call of Musa alayhi salam, saying, قَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. All of those questions that you've asked, you have been granted the answers to them. قَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. Your questions have been answered. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them سُؤْلَكَ. Okay, سُؤْلٌ فُعْلٌ بِمَعْنَى مَفْعُولٌ. Okay, question, the word سُؤْل, it means مَسْؤُولٌ. All of the things you've asked, all of your matlubat, or all of your matalib, all of them I'm giving you. Okay? Ya Musa, O Musa. وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّا عَلَيْكَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. Allah says, I'm going to answer all of those calls of yours. Right? Of course I'll do that. Don't you remember that I gave you from my grace a lot of it before as well? وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّا عَلَيْكَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. There was a lot of grace that we've granted upon you and bestowed upon you in previous days as well, in the past as well, right? If we were able to do it, if I was able to do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying about himself and alluding to this particular statement, to Musa alayhi salam, if I did it for you before, then I'll do it for you now. If I granted you before, I might as well grant you right now. So be sure, rest assured that all of those things that you've asked, I will definitely grant you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He made the chest of Musa alayhi salam vast, metaphorically, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to bear all the difficulties which would be coming his direction. He allowed him to have the ability to bear these difficulties. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his affair easy for him. Allah azza wa jal also untangled his tongue for him so that he could speak eloquently, so that people could understand his speech. Similarly, Allah rabbul izzati wal jalal made a minister for him from his family, the same one he had nominated, Harun akhi, Harun my brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to strengthen his call. So even when Musa alayhi salam went to go meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the special designated appointed meeting that he had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Harun was taking care of the Israelites at that time. Allah continued and He said, وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّا عَلَيْكَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. We had bestowed our mercy previously as well, and our bounty previously as well upon you. So of course we'll give it to you now. What was that bounty? Allah says, إِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ مَا يُحَىٰ. When we revealed to your mother whatever is normally revealed as well. And based on this verse, some people said Ummu Musa must have also been given prophethood as well, because wahi is not given to anyone but a prophet. And this is the long discussions amidst the theologians about whether there is prophethood given to women or not, or whether prophethood is something exclusive for men as well, right? This is something that theologians discuss. The majority of the theologians, they say that prophethood is specifically for men and women do not get a share of this prophethood. But a number of scholars do in fact consider some of the female figures in the Quran, a few of them, a handful of them, around six of them, some of which there's some discussions around, some debates around, some differences of opinion around, even amidst those people who believe that there could be, logically speaking, there could be a female prophet, right? Even amongst those, there's some discussion about them. Musa is one of them, right? So, Musa, and we of course discussed this also in our tafsir of Surah Maryam as well at length, because Maryam is one of those figures about whom some of the scholars have said that she is in fact a prophet, amongst whom, by the way, is Ibn Ashur, the famous Mufassir. And this again is one of those verses that the scholars use. And there's another verse as well earlier on in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِي. That when we revealed to the Musa, the mother of Musa alayhi salam, that she should go ahead and nurse the child, nurse her son as well, right? So that is another wahi, basically, right? And some people said all of this is ilham. All of this was simply intuition granted to Musa alayhi salam's mother. And others said, no, it can't be intuition, because sometimes we're talking about lengthy, passages, detailing the passages of event, the events that occurred in this particular wahi and so on and so forth. So it couldn't simply be an intuition. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. Anyways, as I said, there's a difference of opinion about whether this should be translated as a prophethood or not. أَنِقْذِفِيهِ فِي التَّابُوتِ فَقَذِفِيهِ فِي الْيَمْ. That we reveal to Ummi Musa, we reveal to the mother of Musa, مَا يُوحَى. And one of the things, by the way, which almost nominates the opinion, which almost makes the chances of the opinion, which says that there could be female prophethood more likely, is the completion of the verse, which says, إِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ مَا يُوحَى. When we revealed to your mother what is normally revealed, مَا يُوحَى. It could be translated like that. And with that, we would say that it must be a revelation similar to the revelation given to other prophets as well. Allah continues, He says, أَنِقْذِفِي. What's this revelation? What's this intuition? Whatever you want to call it. أَنِقْذِفِيهِ فِي التَّابُوتِ. That you take this child of yours and you place him in a tabut, in a chest. فَقْذِفِيهِ فِي الْيَمِ. Now take this chest and throw it in the river. Now the river that's being spoken over here, is in fact the River Nile. The River Nile, personally I've been in the River Nile, it's till this day it has a bit of a current, it doesn't have at least when I was there it didn't have a very strong current, but it still has a bit of a current, and it's quite a river. It's not a small little river. The people now, of course, have said that a lot of the water in the River Nile is not like it used to be before. So you can imagine many, many centuries ago how this water may have been. Ala kulli hal, in either case, it's still till today, it's a river that requires you to be on a small little yacht or a ship or so on and so forth. It's a bit of a water body. That's the point, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, place this child inside of a chest and then throw that chest into the ocean. Bissahil. Ya'khudhu aduwul li. Throw it into the river, that is. Ya'khudhu aduwul li wa aduwul lah. My enemy and his enemy will end up picking up this particular child. And that, of course, is Fir'aun, because the Fir'aun is the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Fir'aun is also the enemy of all the Prophet Musa, in an extension, all the prophets and believers in general. وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مُحَبَّةً مِّنِّي وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي. But what Allah had done to Musa alayhi salam, all the other children who were being born at that time, was that Allah had placed a special quality that everybody really just falls in love with Musa alayhi salam at first glance, because it's a very beautiful child, very playful child, and you know, babies, they have a quality of attracting attention, some more than others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Musa alayhi salam that baby that would attract a lot of attention, you know, almost like a love at first sight type of thing. So that's exactly what happened. Fir'aun, despite his savage, despite his very harsh and tyrannical ways of just slaughtering children because he was afraid for his mulk, of his dominion, when he saw Musa alayhi salam, he fell in love with him, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us of this when he said, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِّنِّي. I placed a special love upon you so that people fall in love with you. وَلِتُفْصْنَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي. And so that you may be, and I did all of this so that you may be prepared. Okay? So Musa alayhi salam is being prepared. Sometimes there's events that happen in our lives which are difficult. Essentially, they look like events which are extremely bad for us. They look like events which are going to be destroying our future. They look to us it appears that these events are going to just totally destroy our futures and so forth, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that those apparently destructive events in your life, they actually have a very, very productive outcome when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to make you see that productivity eventually within your life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي. All of this that's happening to you, O Musa alayhi salam, at a very young age, you're thrown into a chest and the river ends up taking you, the Nile ends up taking you towards the palaces or so on and so forth of the pharaohs, right? Through the streams that would lead right up to the ponds in front of the palaces of Pharaoh. All of this appears to be something wrong happening in your life. All of this appears to be traumatic and so on and so forth. But I'm doing this because I'm preparing you for a great task. وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي. So that you are prepared and you are raised under my care. إِذْ تَمْشِي أُخْتُكَ فَتَقُولُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ. When your sister was walking and she saw what is happening. So basically, when Ummu Musa threw Musa alayhi salam into the tablet and the tablet into the Nile, and the Nile ended up taking Musa alayhi salam in the current of the Nile, right, towards the direction of the current of the Nile, the sister of Musa, who's also Maryam, right, sister, her name is Maryam, she started walking along the Nile to follow, to see what is happening to Musa alayhi salam, right? Until she finally found literally the chest before the palace or before the house of Pharaoh, Fir'aun. And she noticed that him and his wife happened to be looking at this child trying to decide what to do. And she realized that other women that attempted to breastfeed and nurse this child, it just didn't work. So she came to them and she said, فَتَقُولُ, she said, هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ مَنْ يَكْفُلُهُ. Should I not tell you of someone that can take care of this child for you? Should I not tell you of someone who can be the kafil of this child for you? Should I not tell you of someone who can literally do the undertaking of nursing this child and being the nanny of this child, so to speak? فَرَجَعْنَاكَ إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا. All along, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a greater plan. The child had departed away from his mother. Musa alayhi salam had departed away from Musa, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to join Musa and Musa alayhi salam together again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that through this particular scenario, we returned you back to your mother, right? If Musa alayhi salam was with his mother the whole time, then there would be this likelihood and this possibility of the spies of Pharaoh figuring out that there is a child in town, and he was expecting that there will be a child born, and that child is going to overthrow my kingdom, as some of the soothsayers had told him, right? So since this child was born in that year, he was going to kill the child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the life of the child by him being thrown into the Nile and into the palace, and literally driven by the currents right into the palace of Fir'aun. And now Allah's great plan was that the sister told them that there's one nanny that I think she's going to be able to nurse this child without any issues, and he's going to like that particular nanny, right? So when Musa came, that is exactly what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way returned back Musa alayhi salam to Musa, even though the people thought she's simply a nanny or a wet nurse or so on and so forth. But in reality, Musa had been, by divine intervention, granted her child yet again. فَرَجَعْنَاكَ إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا. We returned you back to Musa so that Musa, you become the coolness of the eyes of Musa. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ, so that she no longer grieves and no longer is sad anymore. وَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving Musa alayhi salam examples of all of the different favors that Allah had bestowed upon him. Why is he saying all these things? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding him, I am going to in fact answer your call, O Musa, I am capable of that. And don't forget, even prior to this, I gave you a lot. Here are some examples. You went into the Nile River. Wallahi, this is miraculous. Think about it. A child thrown into the chest. Then that
the chest
doesn't end up drowning. It rather goes with the currents of the Nile. And the currents of the Nile, as I said, they may not be that strong, but it is a very deep river, even till today, despite the fact that the water levels have become lower, right? So it gets driven into the palace of this tyrannical king who kills all child, and that king falls in love with the child. And then the sister of that child arrives at the house of this tyrannical king and realizes that this particular child is not nursing from anyone. If they don't find a wet nurse, the child might die. She says, I'll bring you a wet nurse. And they bring this wet nurse, and obviously the child will be ready to drink milk from the mother immediately. But for some odd reason, the Pharaoh doesn't realize that this is in fact the mother of the child, right? So this is divine intervention, clear sign of divine intervention, through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Musa alayhi salam, your answers are very easy for me to call. To answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your calls are very, and your questions are very easy for me to answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, and he says, وَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا فَنَجَّيْنَاكَ مِنَ الْغَمِ. You killed a soul, and we saved you from al-gham. We saved you from sorrow and grief, and we saved you from, all of the sorrow that you were going through. وَفَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونَ. And we put you through a number of different tests, not a single test. We put you through serious tests. فُتُونًا. We put you through a serious test. فَلَبِثْتَ سِنِينَ فِي أَهْلِ مَدْيَنَ. So you stayed after that, after all of these tests that I put you through, you stayed amidst the people of Madian for a number of different years, for 10 odd years. ثُمَّ جِئْتَ عَلَىٰ قَدَرِي يَا مُوسَى. Then you came back based on my decree and based on my appointed time. You attempted to come back. That is something that I'd already appointed. That time was already appointed. Allah continues and he says, وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. Now I am preparing you. The whole time I was actually preparing you. Al-istina' is different than just a sunnah. Right? Earlier on Allah said, وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي, so that you may be raised and prepared. And صَنَعَ يَصْنَعُ really means to manufacture. So you may be manufactured in my care. Now Allah is saying, وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. And I have very carefully crafted you for myself. Okay? How has Allah crafted Musa alayhi salam? First of all, Allah has created everything and everyone. So why is Musa alayhi salam so carefully? And how is Musa alayhi salam so carefully crafted? Right? You see, all of the life of Musa alayhi salam is tests. He basically, as soon as he came into existence, as soon as he came into this world, he was going through troubles with immediacy, right? With immediacy. We're talking about a man who came into the existence with immediacy. There's a chance that the tyrannical king under whose rule he happens to be and he happened to have been born might kill this child. The mother takes the child, throws the child into a river, okay, with a chest. The chest goes right to the house of that tyrant from whom the mother thought she was saving him by throwing him into the ocean. From whom the mother happened to be hiding him after he was born. She was so afraid that perhaps even the midwife that had helped her through the childbirth might go and inform, and perhaps an informant may come. And the informants of Pharaoh were all across the city looking for any midwives, anyone who would perhaps have any news of a child coming into town. They would kill this particular child, right? So there's this serious danger. Upon that danger, he's thrown into a river, a very deep one that is, and at that moment, a very strong currented one as well. And those currents lead him into the house of the person from whom the mother is afraid and from whom the child may be afflicted by a great difficulty, perhaps death itself, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves him from all that. Then he goes back to his mother. Now they can't live in a normal relationship even though there are mother and child, right? The mother can't expressively talk about the fact that this is in fact my child. She's simply a wet nurse according to public perception and so on and so forth. I mean, a lot of difficult affairs. Then suddenly, as Musa alayhi salam grows old, despite being this person who's revered in society because he grew up in the house of the king, right? He accidentally, literally accidentally, ends up killing someone, right? And now that accidental death is not considered accidental in society. So there is the danger now of being put to account and put to judgment in a wrong way, because again, this was an accidental death, right? It wasn't an intended murder and so on and so forth. So now what happens? He has to now run, literally, despite the fact that he hasn't done anything wrong in that he didn't intend to kill anyone, right? So now he has to leave the city. He has to leave the city, running towards another city, a place where he doesn't really know. He doesn't have any friends, family, no one else. He goes to this country, he stays there for 10 years, working literally a labor job. And that happens to also be the mahar for his wife as well. And now he's coming back and it was dark. He lost the directions. All of the life happened to be a lot of tests. And there's more than this as well. These are some of the ones that I've just highlighted, right? So test after test after test after test, difficulty after difficulty. You know, a child raised pretty much without a mother and the father in some ways, because the mother can't really expressively say, I am the mother, right? And so forth. So all of these difficulties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these difficulties and these trying times I was putting you through, He says, all of this was al-istina'. I was preparing you. وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. I was preparing you for myself. Right? So now when you're going through difficult times in your life, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing you for a greater task. Remember the story of Musa alayhi salam. All these difficulties that he's going through, they are actually preparatory tasks, a series of preparatory tasks that he has to go through in order for him to fulfill this great grand task with which he will be commissioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the task of prophethood. And that is the message of Islam that he's going to be delivering to his people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and he says, اذهب أنت وأخوك. Go, you and your brother. Now that I've given you and your brother both prophethood, you and your brother both go and give your da'wah. بآياتي, with my signs that I've given you. Some of the signs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detailed already in the beginning, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the staff of Musa alayhi salam, or the stick of Musa alayhi salam. which when Musa alayhi salam threw it, it became into a snake or a thu'ban or a hayya or a jan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also spoke about this hand, which when Musa alayhi salam would place it under the armpit and pull it out, it would become white, and vice versa. When he would do it again, it would become his normal complexion yet again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, take my signs, وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي, and don't become weak in my remembrance. Don't become weak in my mention, and so on and so forth. So those people who have been tested of calling to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or who plan on calling to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are great tests that will come your direction. Remember the word dhikri, right? وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Establish your prayer for the sake of my dhikr. وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي. Do not become weak in my dhikr, right? Now there's two things, as we mentioned in a previous episode already. The first thing is that when you mention what my remembrance means, remembering Allah yourself. The second thing is when you remember Allah, Allah remembers you as well, right? Whoever mentions me, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi, in a gathering, I will mention him in a gathering even greater than that gathering. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers those people who remember Him. If you become from amidst the people of the remembrance of Allah, then in your trying times and in your difficulties and in all those problems that you have that you thought were unsolvable, Allah will be there for you. And Allah will in fact remember you. And when Allah remembers you, then your difficulties are solved already, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remember you when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the one advice Allah gives to them, وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي. Go to the Pharaoh, Moses and Harun, Musa and Harun, go to Fir'aun, right? And when you do remember one thing, go to him with my signs, so have clear signs, make sure you have a reason for him to believe. If he doesn't believe, or you're afraid of the fact that he might start to act obnoxious and tyrannical and so forth, وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي, remember me and I shall remember you as well. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to remember him so he remembers us as well. جزاكم الله خيرا for listening. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.